Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want you to take his Bibles and go with me to the book of Judges this morning. Judges this morning, chapter number 16. I want to look at a couple thoughts out of here. For some reason, over the past few weeks, the Lord's just made me go back to some things that I preached years ago. He's going to make me do that again this morning. But that's all right. I want to obey him. Amen. Let's look in Judges 16 today. I'll give you a simple little thought out of here. Years ago, I preached actually a series on the life of Samson. When I was teaching Bible college, I taught a whole semester on the life of Samson, I enjoy studying his life. I love to do character studies throughout the Bible look at different characters in the Bible the different things about their life. And Samson is a very, very interesting man to look at in the Word of God. Now, I want to give you some thoughts about his life this morning just see if we can learn something from the life of Samson today, maybe it'll help us. Amen. Judges chapter number 16. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I want to read two verses to you, then I'm going to go back to chapter 13 and bring us into what's happening here in Judges chapter number 16. The Bible said this in verse number 21 of Judges chapter number 16. The Bible said, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." The Bible said in verse number 22, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." Now I want to use verse number 22 use it as a text today where the Bible said, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again." And I want to preach on this thought with the help of the Lord for just a little while today. The restoration of Samson. The restoration of Samson. Now, Father, you know the need of the service today, and I pray, God, that your will and way would be done today. I pray, God, that you'd use us as we preach. I pray, God, that you would give us liberty today. I pray, God, Father, Lord, that you would bind the demonic powers, Father, that would cause you from doing a great work today. I pray, God, that you clear our mind. Father, give us power and unction and demonstration to preach today. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated today. When you begin to study the life of Samson, you'll find that in studying his life, there's four chapters that is devoted to it. You'll find Judges chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16 deals with the life of Samson. In chapter number 13, we're introduced to him. Matter of fact, before he's even born, we're introduced to him and began to study and learn about the life of Samson. You'll find that Samson is a double-minded man, though, when you look at his life. The Bible said this in James chapter number 1, verse number 8, "A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." What I mean by that is this: Samson fought the Lord's battle by day, but sided with the devil's crowd by night. Whenever you study the name of Samson out, you'll find out that his name means sunny. But you'll also find out that the conclusion of chapter number 16, he ends up dying in darkness because he is blinded, literally blinded, as an effect of sin. In chapter 13 and 14, Samson begins to play around with sin, and his light begins to flicker. But when you come to chapter 15 and 16, the light goes out and Samson dies a martyr to sin. Samson manifests all the signs of a man who is headed down the wrong road and headed for trouble in in his life. Yet he continually ignored these signs and ends up dying a defeated death. As Samson took the steps down the wrong road to ruin, he had no idea where his path would ultimately lead him. He had no idea how bad things would be at the end of the way. He had no idea the effect that sin would cause in his life. And in doing so, God continually warned Samson that he was going down the wrong road. But Samson continued in the wrong direction. I'll give you one instance here in the Bible about Samson. There's a time that he goes down to Timnath to find him a wife. He had no business being there. I don't have time to preach all of that. But on his way down there, you'll find out that there is a lion that comes out against Samson. It was nothing uncommon, even from Samson's birth, for the Spirit of God to move mightily upon Samson. But this lion comes out, and God gives Samson the ability and the strength to overcome this lion and to defeat this lion and to literally kill the lion going to Timnath. How was he able to do that? There was one way and one way only. It was God's power on Samson's life. But Samson did not take that as a warning. God's trying to stop him. God's trying to say you're headed to a location that will cause you harm. And Samson repeatedly goes down the wrong road. Whenever you come to chapter number 16, you'll find that in chapter number 16, Samson's in the wrong location. Gaza was the oldest, largest, and chief city of five of the five Philistine cities. It was one of the three cities that the giants or the Anakims dwelt in. If you was here on Wednesday night, you remember me talking about that and how Goliath, or last Sunday morning, how Goliath was of the family of the Anakims. He's in the wrong location. Gaza means this, strength, but listen to this. It is built upon a hill 70 feet above the fertile plains around it. It had many wells, some being as deep as 150 feet. Think about this. To the west were the sand dunes which obstructed the views of the Mediterranean Sea 2.5 miles away. Olive groves, wheat fields, and gardens surrounded the town in abundance. The houses are full of sparrows, or gardens surrounded it, and the houses are full of sparrows and the gardens with doves. They say that there in that city, there was always always a sound of what you would think was joy or excitement. The constant sound of this had everybody thinking that it was okay. However, an air of decay hangs over Gaza. The stones of the houses are saturated with salt, which disintegrates the houses quickly. Gaza was also a place, when you study it, of spiritual decay. And you'll find out that Samson continues on his path to destruction. He's in the wrong location. Can I tell you something? It does matter where we spend time at. It really does matter. Well, I can go here and I can spend time here, and it doesn't bother me. My dad said this, you are right now or soon will be what your friends are. It does matter. I thought about this. He's in the wrong location. But you'll find this in chapter 14. He's got the wrong look. What did the Bible say? Here's what he said in chapter number 14. He said this, and Samson went down to Timnath and saw. But chapter number 16 says this, then went Samson to Gaza and saw. He saw. He's got the wrong look. You see, Samson has traded walking by faith into walking by sight. He's letting all of his decisions be made on what he can see, not what the Lord can do. Boy, how many times are we like that today? Well, I just don't see this, or I just don't see that. There's a lot of things with God that you may not see. But honey, if you'll stay faithful to him, I thought about this. He's got the wrong look. He's got the wrong location. But watch this. Samson ends up with the wrong lady. Samson ends up with the wrong lady. Can I tell you something? You end up with the wrong person and they can absolutely destroy your life. A man goes right there. They can absolutely destroy your life. He ends up with the wrong lady. We'll find out that in chapter number 16, he ends up with a lady by the name of Delilah. So I began to study Delilah, and here's what I found about Delilah. Her name means to weaken, impoverish, or bring low. You see, Delilah had one thing in common for Samson. That was to destroy him. You know what? There's a lot of people that will act like they've got your best health and your best well-being in their interest, but they're after one thing, and that's to destroy you. They're full of jealousy. They're full of hatred, and they want to destroy you. You'll find out that Delilah not only wanted to destroy him, she ends up destroying him. Samson messed up in a big, big way. Here's what happened to Samson. Verse number 17 of chapter 16. That he told her all his heart. See, you better be real careful who you're telling your heart to. You better be real careful who you're sharing things with. There's very few people today, very, very few people today that I'll share my heart with. Now, I may preach to you, I may talk to you, but Brother Ramsey, you understand what I'm saying. When we sit down with somebody and we share everything about our life with them, the battles that we are, does anybody ever face temptation? Does anybody ever wake up and not want to go to church? Does anybody ever feel like their life's just an absolute failure? Does anybody ever face hard days? Well, guess what? A preacher is made of the same thing that you are. And all of those same temptations, all of those same things that you face, I face in my life. And you know what? There's very, very, very few people that I'll sit down and say, this is what I'm battling right now. You want me to tell you the reason why? There's some that would take that and try their best to destroy our ministry. Amen. So I'm very careful. Samson didn't care, though. See, Samson sits down, and Samson's took the gates of the city and carried them out of the city. Man, it's an awesome story. Go home and read it. Samson's took the jawbone of an ass and killed hundreds with it by the power of God working in his life. Samson's got one weakness, and let me tell you what it is. Women. That's Samson's problem. Samson had a problem with women. So Delilah plays on his emotions, gives him the butterfly eyes. Come on, somebody help me. Plays on his emotions, and she says, Samson, tell me how you're doing this. They had came in when he was asleep and tied him up. He'd wake up, tied him with new ropes. He'd wake up and rip those ropes off of him. I mean, he was about as strong as me. She says, what is causing this? See, the thing about it was, Samson was a Nazirite, had a Nazirite separation from his birth in chapter number 13. It was announced before he was ever born that he was to be a Nazirite of Nazirites. He was to have that Nazirite separation. There's a whole, I could preach 2 hours just on that. And here's what he says. The strength is in my hair. Samson's hair had never been cut. And the strength was in his hair. He says, Delilah, that's where my strength comes from. He lay his head down in her lap. He went back to sleep. She called the Philistines in. If he'd have never been in the world, Philistine territory, he'd have never been in this shape right here. It does matter where you're going. Can I just echo that again? It really does matter who you're hanging out with. He lays his head down in her lap. He goes to sleep. She calls the Philistines in. And they shave his head, and his strength is gone from him. Matter of fact, one of the saddest verses in the whole Word of God, in my personal opinion, is found in verse number 20 of chapter 16. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. Nowhere does he say, God's going to give me the victory. Did you catch that? Look at the latter portion of this verse. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. The power of God has been resting on Samson's life, and he doesn't even know the power of God's no longer on his life. He had become, listen to me, he had become so comfortable in his condition that he didn't even know God was not on him anymore. Boy, Samson's life is a mess. You remember what I told you though? I said this, his power and his strength was in his hair. Well, they shaved his hair. But I want you to circle a word in verse number 22. The word is this, howbeit. Did Samson mess up? I hope you'll stay with me. I'm trying to preach fast, but at the same time, man, I want you to get what I'm trying to get you to see this morning. Did Samson mess up? Yeah. Did Samson mess up in a great big way? Absolutely he did. Samson messed up in a big way. Did it cost Samson? Absolutely it cost Samson. It cost Samson's failures, cost him his strength, it cost him his separation, it cost him his sight, it cost him his surroundings, and it ultimately cost him slavery. But the hair of his head began to grow again. Look in chapter 13. I want you to see a verse in chapter 13. Chapter 13, look at verse number 5. Verse number 5 says this. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. Did you see that? But now watch what he says. The last part of this. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Did you note one word there? Began. God knew before Samson was ever born that Samson would never completely accomplish everything that he had for his life. Can I say something to you? God knew before you was ever born and before I was ever born, that we would never completely accomplish everything that he has for our life. But you know what God done? God still let Samson be born. You'll get a hold of it in just a minute. God knew how many times we would fail him. God knew how many times we would let him down. God knew how many times we would miss the mark. But you know what God also knew? He knew that he could make you something in spite of all of your failures, in spite of all of your mess ups, in spite of every time that you miss the mark in serving Jesus. And you know what he said? He said, I still see something in that individual, so I'll let Josh be born. I'll let Robert be born. Yes, they'll fail me. Oh, but I sure am glad that he is a God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a hundredth chance. Howbeit, the hair, you know what happened? God began to move into, well, I feel like preaching a little while this morning. Even though Samson messed up, God began to move in the life of Samson again, and his hair began to grow again. I thought about this. We all know, or I would say probably the majority of us know, that Hebrews chapter number 11 in our Bible is considered the heroes of faith or the hall of the faithful. And we look to those, and we should, for their faithfulness. But can I say this? It can also be known as the hall of failures. Abraham, the father of all nations, Abraham lacked the faith to believe God's promise to take care of him and went down to Egypt where he lied about his wife. Sarah laughed in the face of God and mocked his promise. Isaac lied about his wife. Moses committed murder and tried to cover it up. Joshua was full of pride and failed to pray before the attack of Ai, and the nation of Israel was defeated. Rahab was a prostitute. But you know who we find in Hebrews chapter number 11? We find murderers. Don't go kill nobody, okay? God will forgive you, but you don't need to ask for forgiveness for that one, okay? We find murderers. We find prostitutes. We find people who simply lack the faith to believe God. And you know who God put in there? That's who He put in there. That was the leaders of our quote-unquote Christian faith. That's where it all started at. So don't allow the devil to come to you and say, because of your past, you can't serve God. You see, the successful Christian is not the person who never fails, but it's the person when they fail, gets back up and goes on for the Lord. The successful Christian is not the person who accepts God's remedy for sin and reaches up to God for cleansing and forgiveness when he does fail. That's who the successful Christian is. Our accomplishments will be measured by how we react to our failures, not by our failures. So I want to preach on this thought for about 2 hours. The restoration of Samson. God didn't leave him in a mess. And can I say this to you this morning? God didn't leave me in a mess. And God didn't leave you in a mess. And if you walked in here in a mess, there's a God that'll help you get out of your mess. And you can serve Him. Number one, three things. I promise you, I'm not going to preach 2 hours. I've not eaten breakfast. And my wife started marinating filet mignons wrapped in bacon when I was going out the door early this morning. So I'm going home in just a minute, okay? Probably not even shaking hands today. No, I will. Watch this, number one. I'm just going to throw these out to you. Number one, it was a slow restoration. It was slow. We can't, I think about this. I think if I really hope I don't do this. I'm not going to say it about nobody else because y'all say I jinxed you. Then you say, I don't believe in things like that. Really? If I start off of here and I'm done wearing these shoes, I'm throwing them in the garbage because every time I wear them, they're slick, and I almost fell going off right there a while ago. Donya said, you need to scuff them things up. I said, I did the last time I wore them. If I fall going off of here, Miss Morgan, you already laughing because you're going to laugh if I fall going off here and break my leg. Are you still laughing at me? And break my leg. Are you at least going to call 911? Yeah. She said, after I get done laughing, because they ain't going to understand me for the first 5 minutes. And break my leg. Tomorrow, I am not going to be back in the shape I'm in today. Why? Because I'm wounded. Are you with me? I'm wounded. Can I tell you something? When you fail God and when you fall, not falling from grace, once saved, always saved. Somebody say amen right there. But when we miss the mark and we fall and we get broken because of our failures, hear me and hear me well. God will forgive us for that, but you're not going to be back in the same place tomorrow as you was when it happened. Here you go. Let me give you another illustration about myself. If I choose to cheat on my wife, are you with me? Or if I choose to walk away from the qualifications of a preacher and having the right testimony, and boy, I trash my life. You know what's going to happen? I'm no longer going to pastor the church. Either one of two things would happen. I would resign, or the deacons would bring me before the church and bring me to a vote before the church to dismiss me as the pastor of the church. And that's what they should do. That's what they should do. Now watch this. Will God forgive me for it? Yes. But am I going to be pastoring the church again the next day? No. Are you hearing me preach? It was a slow restoration. Miss Tanya over here, she is a mastermind with hair. She's got a degree in hair. So I read on hair this week. And I asked her right before I come up here, I said, let me ask you something about hair. And if she'd have said, I don't know, I'd have been, well, what do you do for a living? I said, how much does hair grow? How long does it take hair to grow? Here's what she said. On an average, your hair grows a half inch a month. A half inch a month. So you know what that means? Hair grows real slow. Will God forgive you? Yes. Will God use you still? Yes. But what we've got to remember, church, is that sin cost us something. It was a slow restoration, number two. I told you I was going to preach fast when I got here. It was a singular restoration. When you study this out, his hair was not all that was taken away from him. His character was taken away from him. Here's the big thing. His eyes was literally taken away from him. They plucked his eyes from his head. Literally plucked the eyes out of him. He was blinded. Did his hair grow again? Yes. Did God use him again? Yes. Matter of fact, when you study the closing of chapter number 16, Samson was more successful at the end of his life than he was his whole life. Are you with me right there? You study me. The Bible said he was more successful at the end of his life than he was his whole life. However, he never got his sight back. His hair did grow again. God did bless him again. God did help him again. But it was a singular restoration. His eyes never came back. His mind was forever scarred by what had happened. It was singular. It was slow. But I've preached all morning to get to this one point. And I'll give it to you and we'll go home. It was sure. So what do you mean by that? It sure enough happened. It was sure. See, the Bible says this. If we confess our sins. Old Charles, he was preaching out there in the parking lot earlier today. It's pretty funny. He's telling some stories about going to shows and different things, and me and Gavin and Josh was about to die laughing. And maybe y'all ask him about that show after. No, don't. Here's what he said. He said, boys, and if y'all never heard Charles get wound up, you're missing it. He said, boys, what you need to understand is God, forgive me for that. He said, if I'd ask, he'd do it. And then he looked at Josh. He said, but you got to repent. I guess Josh went and saw something last night he wasn't supposed to go see. I don't know. He said, but you got to repent. Can I tell you something today? He said this, if we confess our sins. Here's the rest of that verse. He is faithful. He is faithful. Who is the He? It's God today. The Bible said if we confess it, He's faithful and He's just to forgive us our sins. Watch this. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You may have failed God. Back up. You did fail God. And I have failed God. And hear me and hear me well. I'll fail God before the day's over today. And you'll fail God before the day's over today. But aren't you thankful we've got a God in loving kindness accepts us when we take a repentant heart back to Him? Yes, Samson failed God. Yes, Samson messed up. Yes, Samson had the scars of a tattered past. Oh, but it's time that we put the past behind us. It's time that we forget about the way it used to be and the life we used to live. And it's time, by the grace of God, that we stand up and say, as for me and my house, we'll serve God. I'm not worried about the past. I'm not worried about the mistakes of the past and the failures of the past. I choose today to focus on a God that is a God of restoration. When I've met Him, when I've missed the mark with Him, it was sure. It was sure He'd done it. Samson ends up, come start playing softly. If you don't mind, that sounded pretty mean, didn't it? Get up here. What are you waiting on? It's the way she talks to her husband, by the way. God will help you today, sis. You need us to get somebody to pray with you before you play? Watch this. Samson in chapter number 16. His hair began to grow again. And can I have 5 more minutes? Robert said I could. He's the chief deacon around here, so y'all just take that. You got a problem with it, come to the deacon's meeting at 5 o'clock. Watch this. Samson's in trouble. He wist not the Lord departed from him. But the Philistines took him, verse number 21, put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters and brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Don't you see something? Don't you see something? Where has he prayed to God right there yet? He hasn't. He's not even asked God to forgive him yet. You see, God began to work in his heart and his life even when he was still at odds with God. If we done what we ought to do right there, we'd turn old time primitive Pentecostal holiness and we'd take about 4 laps around here and get 3 snakes out. So, preacher, what are you talking about? Brother Ramsey, before he ever prays and asks God to help him, God has already... I'm telling you, I'm trying to be dignified. God's already started working on his behalf. You may have messed up, and you may be sitting here today, and we all look like we all right. I turned around and looked at Tina before the choir started singing. I said, some people are just crazy. Robert said, that's true. I'm telling y'all, he's a good deacon. And looked at his wife while he was saying it. I said, they're just legit Fruit Loops. But the truth of the matter is, we all are sometimes. And God, even though you may have walked in here today with a suit and a tie on and a Bible in your hand, your dress clothes on, you know deep down inside your life's a mess. You know that you're blaming everything else for not being faithful to God and to the house of God and to the scriptures like you used to be. You're blaming it on everything else. And you know what God's doing? Before you even ask for repentance, God's already been working some things in your heart and your life. And if you look back over the past month or two in your life, you'll probably agree with me and say, yeah, you're right. Before Samson ever even prays, God was already working in the background. God was already trying to get him back on the right path. You read on down, verse number 28, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. All that down through there, Samson begins to talk to a lad. He's trying to get him to help him. You can go talk to somebody else. They ain't going to help you. You can go tell somebody all your problems and they can charge you $150 for a 30-minute session. But I'm going to tell you something. Samson come to verse number 28 and he finally realized who he needed to talk to. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. Yeah, I pray thee and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may at once be avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Note the punctuation in that verse. Period. Samson wasn't asking God if he remembered who he was. He knew God still knew. I guess I'm the only one that's seeing all this. He knew God still knew who he was. He knew God still knew his voice. He knew God knew where he was at. And here's what he says. Remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee. Only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And you know what God done? Verse number 29, God remembers him. Verse number 30, the conclusion of it, and I'll stop here. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. Why? Because he had a sure restoration. God used him again. God, that might not help nobody else. Telling he messed up. I mean messed up. He went against God. He went against the law of God. He went against his Nazarite separation. Over and over and over, God tried to stop him. God tried to halt him on it, and he wouldn't listen. So God let him get to the bottom and lose what he had. God let him get to the bottom and lose what he had. But when he cried out with a repentant heart, you know what God said? Yes, sir, old son, I'll help you right now. What you need. God touched him one more time and made the ending of his life more successful than his whole life. I promise you I'm done. I got to give you this illustration. Y'all remember Peter? Anybody remember Peter in the Bible? You know what Peter's known for the biggest part of the time? Cursing and denying God. That's what he's known for. He cursed and denied God. If Peter would have listened to Jesus, he'd have never been put in the place to curse and deny God. Because Jesus told him not to go with him to the crucifixion. He told him not to go. A lot of people says, well, no, Peter was in the right because he was following God. No, if he'd have been following God, he wouldn't have went. The reason Jesus told him not to go is because Jesus knew he couldn't take what was fixing to happen. And he followed him anyway. He gets down there and he says, for the old bird crows in the morning, you'll deny me thrice. He did once, he did twice. And the third time he cursed and denied even knowing who Jesus was. Peter! But about 50 days after that, around 50 days after that, you study me out. 3 days and three nights, he's in the tomb. Rises victorious over death, hell, and the grave. Sticks around 40 days. There's 43 days. Probably 53 to 55 days. 40 days later, he ascends back into the heavens. Peter stands up and preaches at Pentecost. 10 days later, the Holy Spirit comes down. Thousands are saved. And it wasn't no hoopla junk like Benny Hinn or Kenneth Copeland or Joyce either. Is a power of God come down. 53 days later, 53 days before that, he's cursing and denying God. I don't even know who God is. I don't know that man named Jesus. 53 days after that, he's standing with the power of God on his life, preaching and thousands got. I said, preacher, why do you say that? I say that because of this. Because of this. If God gave him a second chance, will he not you? Jonah paid the fare thereof and went to Tarshish away from the presence of God. But you know what happened? 3 days later, he prayed and God forgave him. And he goes to Nineveh and the whole city gets saved. The question is this. Question simply this morning. Are you willing to allow God to give you a second chance? Or are you just going to say, I'm content where I'm at? He may take you to the bottom and you lose everything before you call out to him. I think while I still was where I was at, I'd find my place in an altar. God will touch you. I'd find my place in an altar and cry out for mercy. And guess what will happen? He'll extend it to you. Father is